Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hello. Today is a very fun day.
Say it till you believe it.
Oh, God. So I feel
Carrie's
sad.
Not doing great. Carrie's feeling really sad.
And so the dating is going hard.
The dating is hard right now. And Carrie was in, was dating somebody that she's no longer dating. And
yeah,
it feels really sad right now.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know if anybody else out there is dealing with some sadness, but you're not alone. I think, you know, when you're out in the world and you're dating, you're opening yourself up to the possibility of a future with someone. And so much of that is exciting and invigorating and thrilling and scary. And it's fun in so many ways. And I think, you know, the high highs of feeling excited and learning about someone and feeling excited about someone, unfortunately, sometimes those come with the low lows of the loss of someone or the loss of the idea of someone or the frustration of a given circumstance.
Yeah.
And sometimes people be peopling, and sometimes people... We all, I think, you know, I'm dating in my mid-30s, and I think the older you get, I don't know, I'm learning this, but the older you get, I think the more specific or you see all these people around you, and so you think you have an idea of what you want, and that's not what I wanted to say. I think... It's not even dating your mid-30s. Like, I just feel like the feeling of really liking someone is so exciting and so fun. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. like, the older you get still, the heartbreak hurts. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any easier. And this is not something that's, you know, been long by any stretch of the imagination. But it felt really meaningful.
And it was
exciting and fun for me. And it didn't work out for a couple reasons, and I think that's okay, and I will be okay, but it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm single.
If you know anybody,
going to get back on the dating apps, take a little breather. I don't know. The holidays are coming up, so that's fun. That's great. Love that.
Love that for you.
Love that for me.
Love a pre-holiday breakup.
Love a pre-holiday breakup. I mean, I think, too, it's like, you know, I was in a very, very long-term relationship for years and years and years, and coming out of that felt scary. And so this was like my first relationship out of that. And there was a lot of stuff that was really meaningful. And there was a lot of stuff in there that felt really special. And I'm really grateful for this person. And all in all, even with the pain and the sadness, I'm very grateful for this person, because I think I learned a lot, and I'm going to keep learning.
And he meant a lot to you, and he still means a lot to you. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Yep. Ugh. Carrie is raw today, y'all.
Yeah, it's going to be... what do you have to get done today after this?
Oh, working all day. I got to do a thing for a thing, and then I gotta have a meeting, and then I'm seeing a show tonight. So I have a busy day. But this weekend,
what show are you seeing tonight?
I'm seeing my friend's show, Art Tour, Lindsay Hope Perlman's show, which I'm very excited about. So I'll see my friend.
Well,
Kristen.
Lindsay's fun.
Lindsay's great. So I'm sure I'll be like, you know, cocooned with some lady friends. My concern is, what's your plan this weekend, Quinn? What are you doing this weekend? Tell me everything.
Let me pop it up, pop it in. Let me begin. Looks like we wrote down that there's a drumming class, a free drumming class that Ko is going to, if you're interested. And I got the Rogers coming over for dinner on Saturday.
Amazing.
You're welcome to come.
Thank you.
I think, and then Matt's going to run across the street and babysit for our neighbors. So that'll be like an early dinner. So if you want to come hang.
That's really nice.
And then on Sunday, if you'd like. Do you want to go to a clothing swap with me on Sunday?
Hillary actually already invited me, so I might. I'm going to see how I feel. I feel like also
I think that would be fun.
That would be fun.
You could come and you could come to my place and we could have coffee and do a puzzle and then go over to the clothing swap together. And I could ask you, will I regret giving this away? Because that's always my fear is that I'll bring clothes. And then when somebody else picks them up, I'll be like, actually give that back.
Oh. I mean, I'm going to see, do I just mope all weekend? Do I just sit in and just, I don't know. We'll
I think
see
you're
how I
only going to know on the exact
yeah,
day.
Exactly.
That's why I'm saying you have an open invitation to come over and experience anything I'm doing, and you don't need to answer in advance.
Great. Thank you.
You can just see how your body feels. And if you're like, I actually do need to be around people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can always come over here and lie in the guest room and cry so that you're proximate to people, but
you
that you're not actually having to talk to anyone.
I like to cry. I feel like crying alone. I mean, the other thing too is when you cry, you're like, get it out. You know, like, mm-hmm. like maybe there's something cleansing about these tears. I will say, after all these crying the past couple of days, my skin looks amazing.
You do look beautiful.
I do feel like my skin is glowing. From these tears.
You did like a tear facial.
I did. It's funny. He looked at me yesterday. He was like, you look beautiful. And I was like, I got to tell you, the tears I think are helping. I got to say, I think they look good on me.
You're so pretty when you cry. Last night I took the kids up. You were down here and I ran down to tell you as soon as I could, but you had just left that right before bed, Koa came out of the bathroom and she like dead-eyed me and then slowly pulled down her pants and underwear and said, gender reveal party. And I go, oh my God. I was like trying so hard not to laugh. But I was like, where did you hear that? And she goes, I made it up. And I said, you did not make up gender reveal party. Where did you hear that? And she goes, my teacher last year had one. And then I panicked. I was like, are your teachers getting naked at school, calling it a gender reveal party? I was like, what do you mean? And then she told a story about how they had like a tissue box with blue tissue and pink tissue and they passed it around the room and then they yelled stop when it got to like it was a little bit like Duck Duck Goose or something, but each kid got to pull a tissue.
It's really funny.
But I was, and then, so she was like, that's how I learned what a gender reveal party is. And I was just so impressed that she took that information.
And synthesized it into a joke. Incredible.
Synthesized it into a joke.
Really incredible stuff.
A very inappropriate joke that I was like, do not make that joke in front of anyone else, but it was really funny.
It was arguably very good. It was very good.
Gender reveal party. And in that voice, like, I was like, what is wrong with
what
you?
Is happening?
That kid kills me.
Okay, well, dear listeners, thank you for your patience while I feel my feelings. And you know what? Grief takes all different forms, and we have space for all of it. And thank you, Quinn, for being there for me. I appreciate it very much.
Any old day.
By the way, you're listening to Truly
Darkly
Creepily.
I'm Quinn LaPasta.
And I'm Carrie Ipama.
And we love ya.
We love ya.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You go first, Quinn.
Great. All right. This story is the story of the murder of Randy Wilson. I got it from CBS, 11 Alive, Denver Post, Colorado Community Media. This is a high school teacher, Randy Wilson, that everybody was obsessed with. And in June 2010, there were these two people driving through Bennett and they stopped at a gas station. They were on their way to Aspen. And at about the same time, this teacher, Randy Wilson, was at the gas station. And then the next morning, Randy's body is found 15 miles away near his car. He had a plastic bag over his head, a belt around his neck, and his hands were bound behind his back, and he had died by asphyxiation. So they're the first thing the cops are like, we have to find those two people that were at that gas station. We know that they were there at the same time. Maybe they saw something. And so they are looking for a woman named Krista Kopedge and her ex-boyfriend, Stephen Nicholson. They're from Florida. So already you're like,
oh, yikes.
Pretty suspicious. They were there in a 1980s BMW. And they know that they were at the gas station the same time. So Randy was traveling from Montana to Colorado. He had had dinner that night in Cheyenne, and then he had stopped for gas in Bennett. So they're like, okay, we know this woman, Krista Kopedge, doesn't have any criminal history, but we can't find her. Like, does anyone know where she is? They put it out into the media. It helps. They get a tip. They find her, and she does not remember seeing Randy that night and says, I can't help you out. Randy's wallet is missing. And his credit card is in the wallet, but his credit card was never used after his death. So you're like, did he get robbed? We don't know. This case goes totally cold. And then a man gets arrested 7 years later. Let me tell you about that man. Who's more who this story is about. His name is Daniel Pesch. And his mom says he was put up for adoption after he was born. They don't know who his dad is, and his maternal grandparents adopted him. He grew up in Old Forge in the Adirondacks, and he goes to University of Central Florida in Orlando to study criminal justice. He wants to go to law school. His friends that know him from that time said that he was really fun. He's a nervous guy. He has this habit of, when you're talking to him, constantly changing the subject. He's taking Adderall, so that could be part of
it. That could be it.
Pretty amped up. But you don't know if he's, like, anxious and he's taking Adderall to get focused or if the Adderall's why. But either way, school becomes too much for Daniel. He leaves and he goes to Colorado in 2007 and starts to work for a ski resort. In 2010, the police get a bunch of emails, but they're anonymous, and they link Daniel to a bunch of robberies that had happened that year in Salida, Colorado. And these emails are sent about 3 weeks before Randy Wilson is found dead.
Oh, wow.
The emails seem to have information on Daniel, like his phone number. They don't do anything, and then Daniel just calls them and confesses to the burglaries. Feels like, you know, and he's like, I did those. It was me. And they were in the news. They were in the Salida newspaper. So he's like, you know those robberies from the news? That was me. At the time that this all goes down, the police are also conducting a search for in a disappearance, a man named Mike Rust, who was a mountain biker that went missing. Supposedly, there were some burglars. This mountain biker gave them chase and then wasn't seen again. That is happening during this time. Then the authorities get another email from Daniel saying that he encountered a random guy named Mike while on bikes, while burglarizing homes. So basically, Daniel's like, not only have I been robbing these homes, but I just want to anecdotally tell you there was this guy, Mike, that we ran into while it was happening. And they're like, Mike Rust is missing. Okay, interesting. So can we fingerprint you? And Daniel's like, definitely. And they're like, great. So they do. And they're like, none of these match any of the prints we have for the burglaries. So they're like, we can't charge you. Even though you're sending weird emails and calling us, Daniel, we cannot charge you. Poor Daniel. In 2011, Daniel's doing a little better. He's working in Breckenridge at a restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah. And he starts dating someone that he meets there, the manager, Kim. And she gets pregnant with Daniel's child in 2015. She gets pregnant again in 2016. And so they're going to have two kids. They're not doing that well financially. Daniel says he gets really freaked out about the second baby coming. Work's not going great. He starts drinking. He's just really overwhelmed. He's really in a bad place. And now Kim, her second pregnancy is progressing. She's now 9 months pregnant. She's due soon. And wouldn't you know it, some bad luck hits. And an anonymous tipster tells the police that Daniel's a drug dealer. Here's where you can find him. Here's where you can arrest him. They go. They pull him over. And his car just has scattered driver's licenses all over the place on the floor.
He's a collector.
And a collapsible baton. Now, later on, Daniel says to the public, the thing about having all those driver's licenses is that they were fake IDs that I, in the restaurant business, had taken from patrons. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that is believable. Mm-hmm. Why did you not tell the cops that when they found them?
He's like, because I didn't come up with it yet.
I have ideas, actually, which is that, well, I'll get to that, actually. They had to drop charges in this case, and it's really interesting why. It's because they got a drug dog, and the dog, before they got consent to search the vehicle, the windows were down in the vehicle, and the dog just jumped through the window. So it was like an illegal.
It was like an illegal search by dog?
Yes. Isn't that funny?
That's so crazy. Who knows?
Like, these dogs are so well trained, and the dog just jumped through the window, and then they were like, shoot.
To be fair, the dog does not understand the Miranda rights. The dog doesn't understand Fifth Amendment search and seizure. It's fair. It's fair. That's a dog.
It's totally
just
fair.
A dog.
I was just like so interested in like how like being at the scene and these cops, and they have their drug dog and they're ready to do the search and they don't get consent and the dog just flies through the window and they're like, damn it. So this second child is born to Daniel and Kim a month early, and they're getting really stressed out in Breckenridge. There's a rent increase. There's not a lot of job opportunities. They decide to move to Denver, and they move to Jefferson County, and Daniel's still not doing well. He's drinking a lot. He's not sleeping. In summer of 2017, Kim discovers a narrative all about killing Randy Wilson. It's on his computer. And she confronts Daniel, and Daniel's like, this is just an entry for a writing contest. I read about like an unsolved crime on a Facebook page, and then I wrote this and I put Randy Wilson's name into it. And Daniel, meanwhile, is writing the Elbert County deputies, and he's not saying he did anything wrong, but he's hinting. He's flirting with them. He's like, I might have committed a crime. He gets fired from his new job at a Denver restaurant. He also, we know, had a concussion the same day he was fired. When he's asked about that, he says he was taking his babies out of the bathtub and slipped, Kim is like, I had both the babies that day. So to me, what I read is you've been drinking a lot. You got fired from your job in the same day you had a concussion. It sounds like you were at work and you were really drunk and you fell, right?
Yeah that's what it sounds
like. I'm not a detective, but that is what I would guess.
But you are a...
And I jump in through the window, unbidden. Kim is also looking at the bank account and she's like, wait, you've taken hundreds of dollars and just spent them on booze. We're not doing well financially. We have two kids and you're just buying booze. Mm-hmm. Not great. Our rent checks are bouncing. What's going on, Daniel? And Daniel's like, we were hacked. She's like, okay, all right. Meanwhile, he keeps going in to talk to the Elbert County investigators, just giving them little clues all the time about Randy Wilson's death. Where he's like, I have a little more to tell you today. Can I make an appointment? And he'd like come in and be like, how about this? Daniel gets hospitalized. He's on a 72-hour mental health hold. I do not know why, but it sounds like our Daniel. And Kim is like, he's on hold. I'm using this time to flee. She grabs the kids, some stuff, tells other people in her life that she's leaving. They come to her place and kind of ransack it, like take what they want, so that when Daniel gets out of this 72-hour hold and comes home.
My God.
Comes home to like an empty house with no family.
Yeah, what a weird move, like, from friends it. To be like, hey, I'm leaving. Oh, free stuff. What?
Yes.
Maybe that's just a different friend circle energy that I'm used to.
I can't totally. Yeah, it sounds pretty dark.
Yeah.
Now, I guess he has nothing better to do now, so he's going to get even chattier with the detectives. And what he's telling them is pretty fucking all over the place. Like, it's not making a lot of sense. He's writing letters, handwritten letters, confessing to the crime. He writes confessions on the windows of the apartment. Seems like he's really losing it. He loves an anonymous tip. He sends one to Greenwood Village Police that he killed Randy Wilson. He says in this confession that he was driving along that road in June 2010. He got a flat. Randy stopped to help him, and then Randy noticed Daniel was drunk, and they had an altercation about Daniel driving drunk. And Daniel says, I hit him with my car door to knock him out. Put his head in a bag. I tied his hands with duct tape. I left. They don't have any corroborating evidence of this, but because Daniel threatens to leave the state after telling them, they call him in and arrest him. He tries to run from them in the parking lot. So, Daniel, they're like, Daniel, we got to ask you, are you the guy that tipped us off to do the drug search on you? And he's like, no comment. I feel like Daniel's like gets stressed out and then just tries to get arrested, which is like such an interesting coping mechanism. Like, his wife is like having her second baby and he's like,
you know, it'd be nice, a little break,
anonymous tip on myself. He's just all these anonymous tips flying in that have to do with him over and over. And like the biker, like him like being like, I saw a guy named Mike. I was involved in these robberies. It feels like anything Daniel reads in the paper, he's like, but what if it was me? And it never is. But he's kind of, it could be, it definitely tied to mental illness, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure in what way. It's just, he's a big fan.
Hey, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it.
Would love to be punished for something. He's just not sure what. He, when they ask him about it, and they're like, it seems like you confess to a lot of things, Daniel, to robberies you didn't commit, to drugs, to, like, you're framing yourself constantly. What's that about? And he's like, I think it's just suicidal. Like, it's my version of being suicidal is trying to get arrested. If maybe it's a cry for attention. Obviously, I recant my confession in terms of murdering Randy Wilson. And they're like, yeah, we do still have to take you to court. Meanwhile, he's in therapy in jail. He's trying to turn his life around. He gets diagnosed with an adjustment disorder. I think he has a real hard time. His relationship with reality is very complicated.
Right. Right.
And he does say he has a very active imagination.
Right.
And the thing is, now they're going to court, but all the charges are really just based on how much he keeps saying he did it 1,000 different ways at different times. Like, he was writing it on windows, writing it on paper, writing it on his computer. The problem is the autopsy shows that Randy was not knocked unconscious before anything happened. And even though he said he put a bag on his head, he didn't say he put duct tape on his mouth, which there was. He said he put duct tape on his hands, which there wasn't, because the thing that was used to bind his hands was zip ties. So it's just, he's like way off on any of the details he's giving. It feels like he read something in a paper and didn't remember it right. There's no DNA evidence. And then his dad comes and is like, I keep a log of people that come to ride horses at my home in Montrose. And my son was there during this whole thing when Randy went missing. So, sorry. And then even though they don't need to, Daniel's attorneys are like, let's come up with an idea of how Randy Wilson died, because it's still a fucking cold case. And their whole idea is that it was an elaborate suicide and that it had to do with wanting to get this life insurance policy for other people. And it you know, they wouldn't have been able to cash in on it had he committed suicide. And that's just interesting because I've heard a couple of cases like that, yeah, that were like a body in the woods and you can't figure it out. And then it ends up being this really bizarre suicide. I don't know that that's what happened. Obviously, they're not like proving that in court. And they didn't need to come up with an alternative explanation. They just needed to prove Daniel didn't do it. And it's pretty easy to prove Daniel didn't do it. So the murder charge gets dropped. He does plead guilty to a charge of attempted escape, and he does get on probation in 2020. He's 38 years old, and he writes to the Tri-County Health Department a letter that says, enjoy the broken windows, assholes, after vandalizing the building. My God. I don't know. Daniel, he's like such a wild card. I don't know.
You're kind of rooting for him.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just like, Daniel, what? I don't know. He gets a prison sentence for that, 18 months, but then they remove over a year of it because they're like, you've already been in jail a bunch because of probate. Like, basically, he just has to serve a few months. And it's criminal mischief. That's what they get him for in the end.
Criminal mischief?
Criminal mischief.
Oh, God.
Which just does sound like Daniel to me, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really, it's kind of just a strange case because they still have never found out what happened to Randy Wilson. And there's no
weird side character of Daniel, though.
Yeah. And the superintendent of his school said of Randy that he was a great teacher, a great father, and he had a dry sense of humor that was really fun to be around.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
And I like that so much better than Lights Up a Room that I wanted to read it, because it's so specific. And I feel like this was like a really cool young teacher that everybody loved, and he got murdered and nobody knows why and nobody knows who. Yeah. And it now happened 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And then there was this kind of crazy side story that came of it with Daniel being like, I'll take the hit. And then everyone being like, Daniel, you seem like you're your own thing. Like,
yeah,
let us do our work over here. But Daniel has his own story, but I don't know. I hope they figure out who did this. And I hope Daniel takes a break.
take a minute. Take a knee.
Take a break.
Take a knee, Daniel. Take a fucking knee. So obviously my stories, I spent a lot of time on them this week because I've had so much time to really sort of dig in to some research. Obviously, I'm kidding. I got this from Wikipedia. Let's go. So
she's like, I know three things about it.
Let's go. It's 1695. Let's go back in time. And I want to introduce you to Marjorie McCall. She is living in Church Place, Lurgan, and she's married in Ireland. And she's married to John McCall. They have kids. And it's 1695. So illness is a whole thing. So she gets very sick. And sadly, she dies, leaving behind her children and husband who love her dearly. She is buried at the local cemetery. And at this time, grave robbing is, you know, all the rage, or I should say all the rave. And so she, if you know, you know.
All the rave.
All the rave.
I love all the rave.
I love all the rave so much. So it's at this time, they're grave robbing. And so this grave robber comes in and sees a fresh grave. He digs it up, and she has this ring that she was buried with. And so this grave robber takes her hand and he tries to pull the ring off, but he cannot get the fucking ring off. So he's like, well, desperate times call for desperate measures. He pulls out a knife and he goes to cut her finger off.
Ah!
She wakes up. She's alive.
This is a scary movie.
She's alive. The grave robber freaks out. I think he has a heart attack and he dies instantly. Marjorie then is like, whoa, what the fuck is happening? She gets up, she's covered in dirt, and she's like, I gotta get home. So she starts the walk to her house, and it's a long walk to her house. And she gets home and the door is locked, and so she knocks on the door. Her husband hears it and he goes, if I didn't know any better, that sounds like my wife at the door. And they're like, no, it's not. They go and they check and they're like, holy shit, it's a fucking ghost. And they're like, we can't let this in. This is a ghost. No, 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 no. And then they refuse to let her in. And then finally she's like, no, guys, it's me, the real Marjorie, your mommy and your wife. And so they allow her into the home and the family is rejoiced and they're reunited. It's their wife, mother, not to the same person, just it's a wife, their wife and mother.
It's not that kind
of
story.
It's not that kind of story, y'all. And she ends up living a happy life and she ends up having more children and she lives many years until she dies, this time for real. And when she is buried, there's a plaque on her grave that says, buried twice, lived once.
Oh,
now,
oh, no way.
This is known as the story as the lady with the ring. And I hate to burst your bubble, but I think this story has appeared in European folklore all across Europe. So Ireland, it's
good.
Really good, isn't it? In Ireland, it's Marjorie McCall. In Scotland, it's like Marjorie Elowistone or Margaret Halcrow Erskine. In England, it's Emma Edgecombe. In Germany, it's Richmondus von Adduct in 1357. And so I was super curious about this and I was like, I didn't have time to get into like some like big buried alive stories, but I did want to sort of cover some buried alive stories throughout the years. Just little anecdotes, because I think you'll find them interesting. Just so you know, taphophobia, which I really thought was an interesting word, is the fear of being buried alive. And it is one of the most common phobias. Because when one is buried prematurely, death can be caused from any which way. It could be asphyxiation, it could be dehydration, it could be starvation, it could be hypothermia. And as we all know, I think even thinking about it is stress and anxiety inducing at this point, right? It's like it's because it's the time that it would take for you to expire being buried alive. And the fact that there's like nothing you can do.
And just being bored.
Being honestly, death by boredom. We hate to see
just
it.
Just in a box.
You're like, in a damn box.
Give me a book so I can read till I die.
Don't get me out of the box. Give me a book.
Give me a book.
Give me a book. Give me a book.
Give me a podcast. Come
Throw
on.
Some
I'm
pods
in this box.
With unlimited battery, but do not get me out of this box. All right, so I'm going to go back all the way to the 5th century. There's this story of 5th century Roman Emperor Zeno, who was apparently buried alive in Constantinople after becoming disoriented from drinking or illness. We don't know. But apparently he's put in his tomb, and for 3 days, people could hear him say, "Have pity on me," from within the sarcophagus in the Church of the Holy Apostles.
That reminds me, have you seen the Scottish funeral of the guy that put
a voice box in, and he
asked to be buried with it, where he's like yelling things?
It's so funny. He's like, what are you doing? It's dark in here. What's happening? I love that. But apparently with Zeno, like everybody hated him, including his wife. And so they're hearing him say, "Have pity on me," for 3 days. And they're like, just leave him in there. In 1885, there's a man called Jenkins from Buncombe County, North Carolina, and his coffin was later exhumed, and they found that his body had turned over onto its front inside the coffin, and his hair was pulled out, and they found scratch marks on the inside of the coffin's interior.
Stop. That's so scary.
Terrifying. 1886, Woodstock, Ontario. There's a girl they call Collins. When they exhume her body, they find that her knees are tucked under her body and her burial shroud is in shreds. 1915, this woman, Edie Dunbar, she's an African-American woman from South Carolina. And when she was 30 years old, she had an epileptic seizure, and they believe she died, and so she was buried. They buried her, and her sister was like, I need to see her. I need to see her one more time. So they exhumed the coffin, and when they opened the coffin, she was alive.
She's like, hey.
Hey, it's me.
What do you think she said?
Like, that was a nice nap. Hey. Oh, hey. Hey, guys. Hey. Oh, wait. It's good to see you. People reported several ministers falling into her grave and mourners fleeing in absolute terror. This story was reported in a newspaper article 40 years later in 1955. 2001 in Ashland, Massachusetts, there's a body bag that is delivered to the Maturas funeral home. The funeral home takes the body out of the bag and he notices that the person is still alive. He calls the paramedics and avoids a live embalming. 2014. Ugh. 2014. Piraea, Thessaloniki in Macedonia, Greece. The police discovered that a 45-year-old woman was buried alive and died of asphyxia after being declared dead by a private hospital. How she was discovered was right after being buried by children playing near the cemetery who heard screams from inside the earth. Her family, but they found her dead. So people heard her screaming. They exhumed the coffin. She was found dead. Her family was going to try to sue the hospital that was responsible.
So hard to prove, though. Just the only evidence they have are the kids' screams.
I mean, they see she died by asphyxia. So, they were able to determine that. In 2015, also in the same place in Greece, so pro tip, don't die in Pereira or, get sick there. The police are investigating a 49-year-old woman who was buried alive after being declared dead from cancer. And her family also reported to hearing her scream inside the earth after the burial. And the investigation revealed that she died of heart failure inside her coffin. Later, it was discovered that the medication given to her by her doctors as part of her cancer treatment is what caused her to be mistakenly declared clinically dead.
Oh.
That's just crazy. So we're getting contemporary. I'm going in order. So now we're in 2018, and we're in Brazil. Rosângela Almeida dos Santos. She was buried alive. She was declared dead at the age of 37, and she was buried. But again, people heard things coming from her grave, and after 11 days, they dig her up. Which, by the way, if you're hearing noises, why are we waiting 11 days, guys? What the fuck is going on? By the time they dig her up, they see her body has been mutilated. Some say that she was already dead at the time of excavation. Some say that she tries to get out of her coffin when they exhume her body. Mm-hmm. Some say she died, not long before they exhumed her. But apparently this incident is recorded on video. 2020. August 23rd in South.
We gotta stop doing this.
In Southfield, Michigan, Tamisha Beauchamp, she was found unresponsive in her home, and so her family calls 911. The paramedics come in, they perform CPR, life-saving measures. She is unresponsive. She is not breathing. They try to resuscitate her for 30 minutes, and they can't, and she is pronounced dead. And so she is taken to a funeral home in Detroit. They start to embalm her, and they notice that she is still breathing. She is then taken to the Children's Hospital of Michigan, where she dies October 18th, 2020. So a couple months later. 2022. COVID.
Yesterday.
Shanghai. It's a Shanghai funeral home during the Omicron variant of COVID. All these body bags are coming in, right? People are dying. Two employees see this body bag and they see signs of life. And they're like, oh my God. This person is alive. And they saved this woman from a premature burial. So there's it's crazy to me that these things have happened until 2022. Like, what are we doing, you guys?
We're in a great 3-year streak, though.
Can we acknowledge that there's been a win here? It's been 3 years since our last workplace premature burial incident. That we fucking know of?
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you ever listen to Radio Rental? A really creepy episode. They're hit or miss, but the hit ones hit hard. And there's one really good episode about a guy that works at a funeral not a funeral parlor, maybe it's a place, a crematorium or something.
Yeah.
And he tells this spooky story about a woman calling in about a body that was on his table and wanting it to get like burned right away.
Yeah.
And he has this, I can't remember the details of the story now. What I do remember is that's alluded to that he keeps thinking the body is moving, or that basically he has this suspicion that the person on the table, though they appear dead, is alive. And then you have on top of that somebody calling in and being really anxious about like burn my husband or burn the body or whatever.
And you're like, quick, why?
Why? And it's this feeling of like you are somehow making this person look like they're dead, and then I'm going to be the one that kills them, you know,
ugh,
by burning them.
Well,
I don't know. I can't remember, but it's spooky. Like it is this feeling of.
It makes me sick. It does. It makes me so unsettled. I think, too, the other thing was I'd always heard that an Irish wake is like a very long wake, and it's to ensure that the person is dead. There's also where stories of people who were fearful of being buried alive, right? This was like a common, again, it's a big fear. So there's like people had glass on their coffin to make sure they weren't breathing, or they had like there was like people that invented like almost like a periscope. So if you did, you can like turn it and be like, I'm alive. Like there were a bunch of fail safes that people had that were invented because of this fear. But anyway, I had to tell you some just like quick little hits of buried alive stories.
The Music League this week is a song you want played at your funeral.
Oh, which one are you doing? Too Sexy for My Shirt?
Too Sexy. I said it depends. I said if I'm being cremated, This Girl Is on Fire. If I'm being buried, Drop It Like It's Hot. I did the one that my grandpa was buried to that's like, you gotta know when to hold him. I did The Gambler.
Oh, fun.
No win. I like that song, and it reminds me of my grandpa, and they played it at his funeral, and it felt really well, he was a gambler, so it made more sense for him, but I'm a kind of a gambler. Aren't we all in this life?
We're all gambling. We're gambling with our hearts. We're gambling with our livelihoods.
I also always lose Music League, so I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my song because I've been proven to not be good at the game, and yet, however, I enjoy it still. And it's really nice to see enjoy other things that you're not good at.
Yeah. It's a nice, like, yeah, it's good.
Very carefree. And speaking of things I enjoy that I'm not good at, I'm about to go to Zumba, which I got to tell you, I wish you would come and do this Zumba with me. Jamila is such a good teacher and it's so fun.
Jamila is a teacher. Fun.
Can you believe?
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Well, thanks for listening. I'm going to go cry some more and feel really sad. But thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. And hopefully time heals all.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.